You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
And we are back. It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Vermes, and we're going to get into Bilderberg 2026, held in D.C. Okay, the earliest it has been held in my lifetime. It's not since, I believe, the late 60s that was held this early in April. My entire lifetime, it has been from the beginning of May all the way back to the end of June. And for some reason, they moved it on up. Now, there were three names that really caught my attention. Now, maybe they attended Bilderberg, maybe they didn't, but they were on that list. Now, as I showed when going over the Epstein Bilderberg documents, it seemed like Mandelson had about a 6-7 week window where he knew when he was going to Bilderberg, that time in Chantilly, Virginia. I believe that was in 2012. And when he could visit Epstein just prior. So to me, you know, these annual meetings, you at least have that 6 week, maybe 2 month window. Now, if in fact somebody like Peter Thiel, who was on the leaked list, not on the official list, really didn't go. Okay. Alex Karp, we know, went there, seen there the whole nine, his surrogate, Palantir forever, right? If he really didn't go there, then maybe they did move this up suddenly. Maybe it was really scheduled for May or June and they moved it up and he couldn't go. Now, I also think, who was it? Rishi Sunak. They were on the leaked list, didn't appear on the official list. Okay. So again, that would suggest that. But somebody that was on that leaked list that wasn't on the official list, I really have to wonder whether they just wanted their name taken off. And that'd be Scott Bessent. Okay. On the leaked list, obviously in D.C., in that area, unless there was some kind of conflict between Thursday and Sunday, and really the meat and potatoes is Friday and Saturday, right? I'm not sure why he didn't make it. So Skelton put out the Guardian, to their credit, London Guardian is the only one that covered it. If somebody wants to send me another mainstream article, I'd love to see it. I didn't see it on NBC, CBS, MSN Now. Okay, not Fox News, none of it. I didn't, by the way, Newsmax might have missed it. OAN might have missed it as well. They might be a little bit better in some people's eyes, but I don't know how you miss this one. The power brokers of the Anglo-American-Israeli-Saudi alliance, right there in your face, meeting in secret over the most important subjects, not only today and surrounding these geopolitical conflicts, but into the future of artificial intelligence, automation, and yes, transhumanism. By the way, if you want to give me a follow on X, a heavily censored platform, all of them are, guys. I hate to tell you. Like, this isn't freedom of speech land. As I stated earlier in the week when I was on the War Room, we broke the chains this week on Monday. We got rid of the stupid blue check mark. Have my analytics changed at all? Nope. I was getting no boost, no reply boost. Same numbers. In fact, I mentioned to everybody that I was on the cusp of 50,000 followers, and I would get that through this platform, a true free speech platform. No one tells me what to say. Nobody asks me, hey, Jason, what are you going to be talking about today? Maybe we don't want to go in that direction. No, none of that. I am off the cuff. There's no script. So I would assume we'll probably get another 100, 200 followers. And this is where, again, you might not see my stuff. You might have to actually go directly to / Jason Vermes. But this is where a lot of the stuff I talk about is in the raw. So you don't have to hear me talk about it or any of it. You get to see the baseline documentation. And that's where you can find this right here. And we're going to read it. Skelton, again, nails it. This one's probably one of his shorter pieces on the matter. But I think that has a lot to do with the fact that there was literally no coverage. None. I was so glad to see that he actually published this on Tuesday because he's usually publishing over the weekend of the actual event. So let's read it top to bottom. This year's conference had plenty of newsworthy aspects, but it's a mystery why the press fails to talk about it. I guess it might not be a mystery when you realize that Warner Brothers, Spotify, CNN Twice, Bloomberg, The Economist, I believe the Financial Times, The Atlantic, all there. All A.N. Applebaum, A. Fareed Sagaria, all of them there. You know, what are they doing there? They're setting narrative perimeters. That's what they're doing there. Okay? So let's go down it. The 72nd meeting of the Bilderberg Group, the elite and secretive policy conference that is the longtime subject of endless conspiracy theories, was held at the weekend in Washington, D.C. A security cordon went up around the opulent Salamander Hotel for the notoriously media-shy summit, which was packed, as ever, with prime ministers, military leaders, tech billionaires, and the heads of giant investment companies. Also the media, guys. I mean big-time media. Bilderberg, which since the 1950s has been the intellectual engine room of NATO, took place this year at a time of immense crisis and uncertainty for the alliance in recent weeks, with Trump threatening at every turn to withdraw the paper tiger of NATO. I got news for you. That ship has sailed. We ain't leaving NATO. That's imagination land. You know, that's Trump posturing. I want to make that extremely clear. If we really thought we were leaving NATO, we could have done so before the cocaine train. Remember that? The blow train? When he said he was going to come in, old Donnie T, and he was going to get rid of that pesky Ukraine-Russia conflict before even being sworn into office the second time. You could say it sailed then, but by the time all those guys are on the happy sauce, nose candy style, and I know you've seen the videos, you tell me it's a tissue all day. Okay, sure. Sure. Wait till we get into Justin Trudeau and the story you don't know about that. Gives you an insight into who these people are. We ain't leaving NATO, okay? The Transatlantic Defense Industrial Relationship, as it's called on the agenda, has reached a strained breaking point. That's the military-industrial complex, which is really the media-military-industrial complex at this point. That's what Transatlantic Defense Industrial Relationship means. The head of NATO and Bilderberg regular, Mark Rutte, arrived at the conference fresh from a very frank conversation at the White House, but away from Trump's bluster and for all the rhetoric about abandoning NATO, there were no signs that the Americans are withdrawing from Bilderberg. Far from it. The Americans were there in force. You bet your arnis they were. Wall Street titans, including the CEOs of KKR and Lazard and the heads of huge corporations like Pfizer, met behind closed doors with a delegation of senior politicians close to the president. Big business lobbying in private of Bilderberg's is Bilderberg's specialty. And the secretive mix of the private and public sectors fits perfectly with the Trump's brand of crony capitalism. That is correct. Give Charlie a prize. Nailed it. Trump's trusted Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, was attending, alongside his favorite trade guru, Robert Lighthizer. They were joined by Trump's economic ally, Jason Smith. That's the Missouri congressman I didn't know much about. Charlie knew a little more about him. The chair of the influential House Ways and Means Committee. And the Secretary of the Army, Dan Driscoll, known as Trump's drone guy. And remember, drones are ever more apparent as a means of not only warfare overseas, but security, surveillance, and domination across the world. I know Lucky Palmer, Anduril, for those that don't know those guys, he's in a Hawaiian suit. He created the Oculus. He used to work at Meta. He's no big deal on that guy. Most people don't even know who the guy is. Okay? And he's all drone warfare. And they got cash rolling out for that guy. And he's at UFC events. Right? And look, man, I love me. This last weekend's card at UFC was badass. But, you know, I got to acknowledge, you want to get the public into, you know, bread and circuses. I mean, a lot of people were watching the UFC. How many people were talking about Bilderberg? That's all. Same weekend. Bilderberg probably a little bit more important. I'll concede to that. Okay? Just saying. It was no surprise with the conflict in Iran dominating the global news cycle that this year's conference had a wartime flavor, with the future of warfare on the agenda and a participant list, including the four-star Admiral Samuel Paparo, head of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. From the private sector, there was a healthy contingent of military contractors and drone manufacturers, led by the Bilderberg's insider Eric Schmidt, who's the former head of Google and keen evangelist for what? Drone warfare. Earlier this year, Schmidt told the Financial Times that future wars are going to be defined by unmanned weapons with swarms of drones operated remotely and increasingly automated with AI targeting. Thriving in this rich overlap between drones and AI are companies like Anduril Industries. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, of course they are. Whose co-founder and CEO, Brian Schimpf, is attending the Washington conference. I don't know that they've Lucky's kind of the face. I don't know that he's ever been there. He may have. They may have had him there at least once at this point. But Anduril is a new name that you should definitely be aware of. Most people are not. Alongside the collaborator in Trump's Golden Dome project, Palantir's CEO, Alex Karp. Yes, the Golden Dome. Sorry, we're not in a golden age anymore, everybody. If you really were buying into that new golden age, I'm sorry. We are in a new gilded age. That's the reality. A gilded age in which they want to reign from a techno-feudalistic top-down society of command and control. Karp is close to fellow billionaire tech bro Peter Thiel, whose name, remarkably, is absent from this year's participant list. Again, on the leaked list, not on the official list. And to me, that probably means Thiel actually wasn't there, that they moved it up, that he had a conflict. But maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. It's called being a human being, having some humility. Let's continue down. Thiel has been a member of the group's steering committee since 2008, almost 20 years now. And it is unheard of for him to miss a Bilderberg. Thiel's reach runs deep into the Trump administration, and his influence within Bilderberg has also been growing through the years. Through the American Friends of Bilderberg, he largely funds the lavish Washington-based meetings alongside fellow steering committee member and billionaire Schmidt. See, it's potato, patata, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. You got your right guy, your libertarian guy on one end with Thiel, and then you got Schmidt on the other end of the lefty. Think it matters? No. I'm sorry, it doesn't. And look, Thiel backstabbed the first Trump administration when he was the Secretary of Technology. He wouldn't come out and say anything about the election. No one's saying anything about the machines. Forget about the mail-in ballots and all the other Johnny nonsense. He tried to fix that? Nope, he abandoned Trump during that time period. And for whatever reason, I think he saw the writing on the wall, especially after they didn't shoot, you know, Trump through the head. Boy, what a different world we would be in. And not necessarily a better one, guys. I just want to let everybody know, God knows what would have happened if that bullet went straight through his dome. Just want to say, I think after that, I mean, that's when the podcast train starts happening. That's when Thiel's on Rogan and all of a sudden J.D. Vance is there too. And, you know, the coup de grace is Trump just a couple days before the election. They're on Theo Vaughn and all these other podcasts. That wasn't Barron, everybody. I'm not saying Barron's a dumb kid. Probably what happened was Thiel's putting this all into place. Trump has a conversation with his son, and Barron's like, yeah, no, that's actually a really good idea. That these are the new media outlets, and that's why Spotify is there, right? Talk about all about narrative management and control, period. Okay? That's how these things, that's how they make you think that Eric Schmidt and Peter Thiel are like on different sides of the table. Not like, no. Thiel operates in the powerful liminal area between big finance and big intelligence. Notably, he set up Palantir with the help of funding from the Central Intelligence Agency. The shady intersection was the birthplace of Bilderberg and is baked into its history. The group was set up by British and American intelligence. And there's always been a handful of spy chiefs at the conference. This year, three intelligence directors were present, including the head of MI6, Blaise Metriwal. It is a fascinating backstage world, which Thiel will now miss, along with the strategizing, the talent spotting, and the big ideological discussions on China and the West. It was no small thing for the arch networker Thiel to skip Bilderberg. After all, Bilderberg is all about the chance to stay three steps ahead with all that lovely off-the-books access to policymakers, such as breakfast with the president of Finland, tea with the head of the IMF, and cocktails with the king of Holland. Quite why the press fails so spectacularly to talk about Bilderberg, such a major annual summit with so many senior politicians present, is an enduring mystery. This year's conference had plenty of newsworthy aspects, not the least the presence of Vivian Motzfeldt, the former Greenlandic foreign minister and ex-speaker of the Innistrand, Greenland's parliament. I'm going to butcher it. Motzfeldt was the first Greenlander to appear at Bilderberg, and her presence was a clear signal to the Trump administration that Greenland has powerful allies within this transatlantic partnership. Motzfeldt no doubt contributed to the session on Arctic security and might even have moved to a quote, the final sentence of Trump's recent anti-NATO event. Remember Greenland, that big, poorly run piece of ice. But as there was no oversight at this conference by the press, it is something that we will probably never know. So Skelton, just top of his game here, guys. Top of his game. Really need to go check that out. So I want to move on from the Bilderberg to Epstein and the Epstein class. We're going to play a couple of clips here from Ro Khanna at the National Press Club. At first, he kind of just addresses the press, and then he does like a sit down with one of them. This is him in his initial like 15-minute address to the press. This is just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of Ro Khanna really stating the obvious, and the obvious to anybody that's paying attention to what true populism is. This is who he is appealing to.
And nothing encapsulates this sense of injustice more than what I call the Epstein class. This is a group of elites who operate outside the law. When people see powerful men abusing and trafficking young girls without consequence, it shakes something fundamental. They have seen the callowness, immaturity, hedonism, venality, rootlessness, and immorality of our governing class.
By the way, you notice how he almost said immortality? That's because the system that's been set up of this predator class, of these oligarchs, not only feels like it is immortal, as many of them have reigned for generations, but then you've got guys like Epstein who were trying to become immortal through transhumanism, through cloning. Okay, that's real. That's in the files. All right. So whether Ro actually knew it or not, that little slip up wasn't much of a slip up.
People who chose being part of a network instead of speaking up against the abuse of young girls. And many are asking themselves, if these elite can get away with that, what can't they get away with? They see elite indifference and impunity has led to wealth piling up in the hands of a few in a few places, while the vast majority of this country has faced stagnation and struggling for economic security. Workers and communities have been treated as dispensable, just like these young girls were in the Epstein matter. Fortunes have been built on a foundation of offshoring jobs, automating plants, liquidating companies, buying back stock, and of course, harvesting all of our data. Consider this: 19 billionaires hold over $3 trillion in wealth, 12.5% of our entire economy. This is three times the concentration of the Gilded Age, where we had Rockefeller, Vanderbilt, Morgan, and Carnegie.
I'm going to stop it right there. Can you argue with that? I mean, think about that. Anybody a fan of the Rockefellers? You know, one of the things that is going to be in my upcoming Epstein Files documentary is the love affair, apparently, between Jeffrey Epstein, who got put on the board of Rockefeller, and his relationship with David, who he's a wonderful human being. That's quite the endorsement from our good buddy Jeffrey Epstein, isn't it? It's a quite the endorsement. Okay. And meanwhile, we're going to come back to Ro Khanna in a minute because he gets asked about Pam Bondi and the Epstein files and the fact that basically, you know, Bondi thinks she's above the law. You know, she denied coming in. And we'll see. They may make her come in just like they made Wexner come in, just like they made the Clintons come in. Still waiting on Gates. We've been hearing about Gates next. But he nails it when talking about, you know, the 3 million plus files. And he even talks about Swalwell and Leon Black. I mean, absolutely nails it. But you know what I didn't see? I didn't see headlines with that. Instead, I saw headlines like this one, okay? Elon Musk's father insists Epstein is alive, and it's absurd to think that he's dead. See, it's absurd to think he's dead. First of all, from what I've seen, Errol Musk, horrible human being. Just, I mean, absolutely not a good person. And look, I've had my problems with the Musker do, and I still do. You look at his parents, and you look at the way he acts, and you cannot tell me that that guy didn't succumb some kind of traumatic abuse. Now, I'm not saying it was of a sexual nature, et cetera, but so many of these guys, I mean, Thiel's another one. I look at his mannerisms, the way he asks, some type of abuse is there. All right. But people will take the word of Errol Musk, who like married his stepdog. Whoa. Among other things, because they want to believe, like I said in the very beginning, all the fantastical. Here's a shot of Epstein's arm, the supposedly not dead Epstein while he's dead. And anybody can go check, you know, the 60 Minutes out, and I get it. You don't believe 60 Minutes, but if 60 Minutes has the coroner's photographs and there seems to be an injection mark on his arm, weird, right? Amongst other things, other people have it as well, right? And we'll just scroll through. And then on top of the photograph supposedly not being real, like that's supposedly not Epstein, believe me, they go through quite a few of the graphic ones. Then you have multiple coroners that are at odds with each other that supposedly didn't conduct these autopsies like Baden, which I totally believe he did. Oh, yeah, and then there's that whole thing where Epstein's brother and lawyer claimed that the first suicide attempt, I don't know why they wouldn't have just extracted him then if they extracted him, right? That he was actually strangled by now a convicted crooked cop and quadruple murderer, Nicholas Tartaglione. Don't know if it happened. Know the claims, but no. Epstein's alive somewhere. Give me a break. We're going to come back. More Ro Khanna on The Alex Jones Show, speaking the truth after this.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. Out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultramethylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultramethylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!